Dear Lord, you are strong and mighty, and your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, and we pray that you would cut to our quick. Take the word and cut down to the very heart of our soul, and help us, Lord, to apply these principles and these truths in our lives. I pray, Lord, that you would be the one that speaks today and not me. I pray that you would bring understanding and wisdom to our spiritual eyes. I pray, Lord, that you just give us your Holy Spirit's anointing upon this time in your word. I pray, Lord, that you would do this for your glory and your honor. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray these things. Amen. Well, if you'll please forgive me, I've got a little bit of sniffles. It's not any kind of a cold. It's just allergies of some sort. And I think I aggravated it by having a little bit of soda pop last night. Probably had way too much. But we had a good time with friends, and that's important too. I want to share with you this morning some thoughts and some principles from the scripture concerning waiting on the Lord. And this is something that is pretty personal to me and our family right now, as we are trying to wait on God and his leading and direction. And yet at the same time, he's told me, ask, seek, and knock. And to ask, seek, and knock for direction and guidance. But at the same time, trying to wait upon him, that's one of the hardest things that anyone will ever do in the Christian life, is to wait on the Lord. And a lot of times we just blip right on by these scriptures that are talk about waiting. We don't stop and think about them. But waiting on the Lord is one of the most powerful things that we can do. And so this morning I wanted to just spend a couple of minutes talking about it. And the Lord just kind of nudged me in this direction this morning. And so I want to share with you some thoughts about waiting on the Lord. And I want to focus on a particular passage of Scripture from Isaiah chapter 40. So why don't you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. It's a very famous passage of Scripture. But sometimes I think we miss the deeper meaning here. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That's our scripture this morning, but before we kind of get into that in a little bit more in depth and talk about the deeper meanings that the Lord has for us there, I want us to talk about what is waiting. We need to understand what waiting is. What does it mean to wait upon the Lord? Well, there are 10 different Hebrew words that are translated wait in English. Now, there are 8 different Greek words that are translated wait into our English Bible. So if you thought love was an in-depth study, they only got 4. So you could go very far into depth on some of these different things, but there's a few that are most commonly used. They're the most common words that are translated wait. In Hebrew, we have yachal, and it means to wait, by implication, to be patient or to hope, to have hope, to be pained, to stay. We have another Hebrew word that is kaval, and it's a primitive root. It means to bind together by twisting. That is to collect, or figuratively to expect. Another dictionary says it means to wait or look for, hope or expect. Dr. Zodiades, in his commentary on the meanings of different Hebrew words, says this: to look for patiently, to be confident, to trust. It has a connotation of expectant looking. There's another Hebrew word which it's dalmam, and it means to be dumb. By implication, it means to be astonished or to stop. It means to be cut down, to forbear, to hold your peace, to quiet yourself, to rest, or be silent. A couple of the most used words in Greek. I'm not even sure I can say them. They're compound words, so they're two words put together. Makes them hard to say. Apikdikaomahi, I guess. It means to expect fully, to look or wait for. And another one means to accept from some source, or to await, to expect or look for. It might help us to understand the English word wait. What is that definition? It means to stay or rest in expectation, to stop or remain stationary till the arrival of some person or event, to stay proceedings or suspend any business an expectation of some person, event, or the arrival of some hour. To rest in expectation and patience. That is a definition of the words. The meaning of the idea sometimes can be a little harder to grasp. In fact, if you were to tell a child, I want you to sit here on this chair and wait for me. If that child said, what do you mean by wait? What would you say? You'd say, well, I mean, wait. Don't go anywhere. Don't do anything. Just sit there, be still, and be quiet, and wait. Well, what does it mean to wait? How can I wait? What do I do? You don't do anything. You just sit there, and you wait. You just do it. Waiting involves humility. The one who is waiting is subservient to the one being waited upon. He submits himself. The one who is being waited for is the one in control. The one waiting is in submission to the schedule of the other. It requires us to be humble to wait on someone or something. And the scriptural idea about waiting on the Lord also involves hope. To wait on something is not, at least waiting on God, does not mean we wait for nothing or that we wait for some bad thing to happen. We have a hope of a pleasing expectation, a hope of a pleasing fulfillment of that which we are waiting for. We hope and believe in His love and mercy, so we wait. Hoping in the Lord and waiting on Him are closely connected in the Scriptures. In Scriptures, it gives us some illustrations of what waiting looks like. In Psalm 130, verse 6, I'll just read that for you. It says, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. It gives us the idea of a watchman waiting for the morning to come. And those watchmen, they're up all night. It's quiet. There's not a lot of other people around. It could be a boring job. They're just waiting for morning to come so they can be off. I feel like it's like, you know, when you're working and you're clocked in and you're waiting for that hour when you can finally clock out and go home. you're waiting. And you can't think about it too much or else the time just takes forever. If you look at your clock all the time, it's like those minutes just pass slower. But if you stop thinking about it, they go quicker. Those watchmen waiting for the morning. Or in Luke 12, we have men that wait upon their Lord. They're watching. They're watching and looking and waiting. In James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, we read about a farmer who waits patiently for its crops to grow. That's what waiting looks like. He's patiently, hopefully expecting the fruit to finally come. He's waiting upon it to come, but he can't do much of anything in the meantime. Waiting on the Lord is about being, not doing. It's not about activity. It's about just being with Christ. It's not about how much you can do for him, but how much you can be with him. And that's partly why it's so hard to do, because that is not our natural inclination. And it's also part of the reason that God does it. He causes us or insists that we have to wait upon him, in part because he wants us to dwell with him and just simply be, instead of always doing. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing good works. In fact, the Bible says that we are created in order to do good things in the world. But we need to let the doing of the good works and the activity that we do come from being with him. We have it oftentimes completely backwards. We think that doing will cause us to be closer to the Lord. But the opposite is true. When we focus on being with him, the doing grows from that and becomes much more fruitful. It's important for us to remember that. Taking all of these things into account, here's what we could say waiting on God is. Waiting on God is a state in which we contentedly grow in our relationship with Christ while expectantly, hopefully, looking to the Lord for the fulfillment of a vision and restraining ourselves from the pursuit of that vision until God leads the way. That is what waiting on God is. That's a good summation, I think, of waiting on the Lord. Is waiting passive? Do we just sit still and stare at the wall and just say, okay, I'm waiting? Is it a passive thing? No, it's not. There's active things that we do as we wait. It's a state of contentedness. As we wait, we are to grow in our relationship with the Father through his word. We are to seek him. We are to seek his face as we wait. That's important. Psalm 37:34 says, to wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. To keep his way is to look at his way intently, to focus upon it, to seek it out. Psalm 130 verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Isaiah chapter 26 verse 8 in the New American Standard Version says, indeed, while following the way of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited for you eagerly. And then Lamentations 3 verse 25 teaches us that the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. You see how waiting on him and seeking him is connected? It's connected through his word. If we are in a place where we must wait upon the Lord, we should be seeking his face in his word, seeking to keep his way, to understand himself in a deeper and more significant way. It's not a passive place of doing nothing. It's really the spiritual greenhouse that God brings us into. When God causes us or insists that we wait upon him, he is trying to grow our faith, grow our love for him, grow our knowledge of him. That's time to grow. And I can tell you that I have been significantly reminded of that lately, personally. And I don't know, maybe you're going through a place or a time of waiting in your life. Maybe God is insisting that you must wait upon Him. We usually go through times. Sometimes when I was young and single, it was waiting on God to get married because I really would wanted to have a wife and children. And I had to wait on God's timing and the right girl, and I'm sure glad I did. I'm sure glad I did. All of my kids go, "We are too, we are too." But sometimes we wait on God for the right job. And that takes time and patience. Sometimes we wait on God for decisions of various kinds. Lord, what do I, should I, you know, as you grow older, sometimes you have to consider how to help your older parents and how to care for them. And do we, where do we put them? What do? They need this, but can we provide it? There's all kinds of different situations in which we have to seek God out. And usually most of the Christian walk is one period of waiting to the next. You wait on this, and then God brings fruition. And then without very much time at all, you wait on God for something else. And then God brings that to fruition. And then you wait on God for something else. There's a lot of waiting that happens. But there is a promise that God makes to us for those who will wait on Him. In fact, there's quite a few good benefits to those who wait upon Him. But I want to focus on one particular passage. our text today, Isaiah 40, verse 31. Look again at this passage of Scripture. It says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew." And that Hebrew word renew means to hasten away, to pass on, spring up, pierce, or change. In English, it's translated abolish, alter, change, cut off, go on forward. Another dictionary besides Strong's says that this Hebrew word means change, to go on from. This word renew means to change something, to abolish, to go on from something to something else. You're going to change it. That's what the Hebrew word says. The New American Standard Bible translates this word, I can't tell you that just yet. I want you to notice something else. If you're looking at your King James Bible, you will notice that right there it says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." The English word "their," T-H-E-I-R, is in italics. Now, some King James Bibles put that in there. Most of them do. And a lot of translators, when they're translating from the original languages to English, they sometimes have to put English words in there that are not necessarily exactly in the original text in order to make it coherent in English. So "there" is a word that the translators put into that version in order to help it make sense to us. However, it's not originally in the Hebrew. "There." So when it says "shall renew their strength," if we take out that word "there" and look at just the Hebrew words, it changes the meaning. This says that they will receive new strength, and that's what the New American Standard Bible translates this as. It says, "gain new strength." They that wait upon the Lord shall gain new strength. Their strength shall be changed. It's not that they shall renew their strength. They shall renew strength. If you take "their" out, it says they shall renew strength. And that word "renew" means to change or abolish. So they shall change strength is what that's saying. They that wait upon the Lord shall receive new strength. It's not that their strength is recharged, which is what it seems like if we read it quickly without studying the Hebrew. But instead of recharging their own strength, it's telling us that they shall get a whole new kind of strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall gain new strength. It's a different kind. Their strength won't be there. They'll get a new kind. What kind do you suppose that would be? It would be the strength of the Lord. Christ's strength himself. That's the strength that they are infused with. If when we wait upon God, when we look unto him in hope, he gives us his strength. He doesn't say your strength will become great. He says, I'm going to take your strength away, which is weak and failing, and I'm going to give you new strength. They shall renew strength. They shall change their strength. Their power shall be a better power, a new power, a strength that does not run out and has no end. He says, they shall renew strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How many of you have struggled with weariness? You just are weary over the constant battles that we must face in this life. Sometimes I get weary looking at the society that we live in and the culture that I'm raising my kids in, and what a battle it is to push back against evil and stand for truth and righteousness. That is wearying. And when you think about how far the society is from godly things and how many people believe untruth, it's almost overwhelming to think about trying to change everyone's mind. It is overwhelming. Sometimes, folks, I just get weary of the battle. That I faint. I feel that I am fainting because my strength is burning up. Well, do you want to avoid burnout in your life? Do you want to have a strength that does not run out? You'll be the spiritual energizer bunny. That's what this scripture is teaching us. They that wait upon the Lord shall receive new strength. They won't get tired. They shall run and not become weary. They shall walk and not faint. We will walk. We will do more than walk. We will soar. We will soar. Have you seen an eagle fly? How many of you have ever seen an eagle fly in real life? Yeah. Out in the wild. Me too. I saw bald eagles up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. They were so high. Those birds are giant. And yet they were almost impossible to see with the naked eye. We had to get binoculars out to really get a good look. But man, they were awesome. But they did almost no flapping of their wings. They were soaring on the wind. Now, you've seen a duck fly, right? Ducks go, they're like tons of energy. It's like, if I stop flapping for 1 second, I'm going to fall like a rock. That's what a duck looks like. That's not the way an eagle flies. An eagle, he gets going and he gives a couple flaps, and then it's lock those wings in and just catch the wind and let it lift you. And he does not have to work. He just has to rest upon the strength of the wind to cause him to soar above the ground and see all kinds of things. Eagle's eye view. That is the kind of life that God desires us to live, to rest upon the strength of his Spirit, not depending upon our own ability to flap and to try to keep ourselves above the earthly, worldly things around us. He wants us to have the strength of eagles, to soar upon the wind, and not to grow weary or to be faint. He does not want us to grow faint in doing good, not to wear out or burn up. The way that happens is when we wait upon the Lord. When we wait upon him, we look unto him, we seek his face and desire a deeper relationship with him, then we get new strength. Our strength is renewed, changed. Not just our strength is recharged. We get new strength in Him. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 23, teaches us that those that wait upon the Lord shall not be ashamed. God will not let us down if we wait upon Him. Look unto Him. Seek His face. When we do that, we won't be let down. They shall not be ashamed that wait upon the Lord. The ultimate purpose of waiting is that you receive more of the Lord. You can't receive a new strength, you can't receive greater faith or a deeper walk with Him without receiving He Himself. And that needs to be our focus when we wait upon the Lord, is that we must remember His purpose in that time of waiting is that we get more of Him. So I don't know what's happening in your life or what God may be asking you to wait for. Or maybe there's a promise or a vision in your life that you seek after, that you desire. Some good fruit that you want to see come about, and God has told you to wait. I am here to say and encourage you to not grow weary in your waiting. Let us not be tired of waiting. Let's seek after His face even more. Because I believe that the longer you have to wait for something, the greater it is once it's finally given. We can wait upon the Lord expectantly, hopefully. And while it is very hard to do, they that wait upon the Lord shall gain new strength, shall change strength from the worldly, weak human strength that we have to endure in this world, and will exchange that for a divine strength that doesn't wear out, that doesn't tire, that doesn't lose its efficiency, doesn't lose its oomph. That's the strength we want to seek. And that is the strength that comes to those that wait. So let's live an eagle's life. Let's walk the eagle's path. Let's not flap. Let's not be ducks. I mean, I like that movie too, but let's not be ducks. We want to be eagles. The eagles soar. They depend upon the strength of the wind to lift them above the clouds, not upon their own strength. Let's pray. Lord, we know that You are mighty and strong. We know that your strength doesn't run out. So Lord, when we are weak and failing, when we are weary, we pray that You would help us to look unto You, to wait upon the strength that You provide. We pray that You would give us more of Your life, more of Yourself, that as we wait upon You, as we look unto You expectantly, hopefully, that You would give us more of Yourself, that You would pour out Your life into us. Lord, give us the grace to wait upon You in the way that we should, to be patient. We pray that You would help us to walk this way and live this way. Father, for Your glory and in Your name, we pray all these things.